Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Every time I fill out my taxes, I'm like everybody else. Paul Tonko, I don't mind the fact that I pay, and I pay a fair amount of money out of my income. What I'm concerned about is that the tax code stinks. It's not fair. We see major companies that pay not one penny, you know, in taxes. Now, that infuriates me. Why should I stick up for them? Why should I do all of that?
Yeah, I agree. You know, as long as we have taxes and we need those, the balance in our budget, but...
yeah, we do, and we need another nuclear submarine.
No, but I think to your point, the fairness and equitable treatment of taxpayers ought to guide us. And there was so much discussion about tax reform coming post-election, and we haven't seen it yet. And many of us are pushing for that discussion to have the reform efforts made to strengthen the fairness in the outcome of taxes.
Well, what do you want to do?
Effective.
What do you want to do?
Well, I think closing loopholes with the corporations is
important.
Give us
an example of a particularly disgraceful loophole.
Well, you know, there's corporate jets. There are ways to, you know,
deduct all of that stuff.
Yeah, there are ways that you can take down that effective tax rate. Many will tout, well, I'm paying a 30% rate or high 20s. When you look at it, it comes down to very little because of all the write-offs. And I think that also in the progressivity of taxes, there needs to be that factor built in more strongly. You know, there's no denying that middle-income community across this country has been taking it on the chin. And as the struggles have occurred, the revenue production is unfair. It's totally drawing heavy on the middle-income community. But also, the cuts have been impacting that same community, the middle-income community, so that education, for instance, when it's cut and cut deeply, you're having to produce more monies at home through a local property tax. So now you have this unfairness of taxes coming from federal or state level, and then compounding that damage with the local scene with the property tax. So, you know, there's no surprise here that middle income types would be screaming ouch. And, you know, they understand you work hard, you play by the rules, you assume responsibility, you're a responsible individual, and you expect to meet with success.
Now, MoveOn has been talking about legal bribery. Look, you say the tax,
sure,
the deduction for the jet plane that the company exec uses. We know that as soon as this stuff starts to get negotiated, the jet plane industry will have people up from K Street on the Hill telling people you can't destroy this industry.
Right. You know, if we're going to avoid issues like sequestration, we have got to tackle the issue of revenues. And, you know, the problem that I see facing certainly the federal government, and if not even beyond that, is the unwillingness to advance reform that has been, you know, long in coming, that allows people to have breathing room. I mean, you can't saddle the middle class the way they've been saddled and expect an economic recovery. People need purchasing power. They need available cash. They are working, in many cases, two jobs to make ends meet.
You bet.
And so, you know, the pressure is going to be great. Granted, K Street will enter into the picture, but we have got to stand strong about revenue reform, about belt tightening, about whatever cuts we can do to outmoded programs or ineffective programs, or through savings accrued through addressing wealth fraud and inefficiency, getting all of that done so that as we cut where we can, we need to invest where we must. We're in this global race on clean energy and innovation and ideas economy, and I think we need to see that passionate resolve that we saw, for instance, in the 60s with the global race on space. Where is that passion? We need it.
Ding, you mentioned economy, and as we speak, the newspapers are filled with the fact that the European market, the European countries are in such terrible shape. that Volkswagen is going down, not in the States, but over there, primary markets. How much interdependency, Paul Tonko, is there so that we have to worry in this country when things are really bad over there?
Well, there's no denying there's an international quality now to the economy like there never was before. You know, Europe has a somewhat interesting situation with, you know, the whole homogeneity of the euro, which didn't seem to help much. But we need to watch and learn from their patterns. They went into this austerity budgeting that cut deeply. And look what it caused. And, you know, we can learn from our own history here in the States from tough times when we reached to putting people to work, developing infrastructure, building America. That worked. The best solution here for the economy, the best solution for reducing the deficit is job creation.
So you're a Keynesian.
Putting people to work. I favor putting people to work, getting projects done. It's not like we don't have these projects. Many of our bridges are rated deficient.
But if we do that, don't we get into all this trouble with having to pay so much of our tax dollar into putting out payments for our, you know, for our debt?
Well, I think that, you know, the best deficit reduction comes through employment, putting people to work. And, you know, we didn't get into this situation overnight. We need a strategy that takes us over a 10 to 15 year span to buy down deficit and debt. And, you know, there are certain things that carry with them a longevity, a lifespan of commitment, a 30-year life for bridges, for wiring communities with broadband, putting together a smart grid.
Yeah, but it costs.
But it also is costing us jobs by not having us up to snuff. And what you're seeing, too, in this competitiveness of the global economy, other nations are bulking up. You look at China, you look at India, Japan, Spain, Brazil, they're bulking up. They're making.
When you say bulking up, I mean some of them are
investing in education, higher education,
yeah,
research.
But some of them are in our basket cases, like Spain, for example.
Well, yeah, but many of the competitors out there, you know, are going to give us a run for the money, and we can ill afford to lose that international race. Whoever emerges victorious will be the kingpin of the international economy. And we saw what happened in the 60s when we were the first to land a flag, the American flag, on the moon. It was more than that poetry of the moment. It was, you know, untold amounts of technology unleashed into every sector of the economy that strengthened us and made us continue to keep us in that powerful position that we bear in the international scene. But if we fall off our enthusiasm and our commitment to investment in research and education and workforce development, transitioning opportunities, then I think we'll pay a terrible price. And I just think the moment speaks to us building a bold and balanced budget that includes revenues, that brings in fairness and justice, which you opened the program with, allows for belt tightening with outmoded programs or inefficiency and waste out there, and then invest where we must.
Of course, we only have 51 seconds, but it's going to take some guts on the part of Congress to do this.
I think it does. But, you know, the president has introduced his budget. The Senate has done their budget now. There was complaints that they hadn't in the past. They've done their budget. The Republicans advanced the budget in our House. I voted against it. And the Democrats have come up with their version of what they think is the most important. Our leadership has formalized its request by putting in writing a demand to name conferees so that we can go to the conference table and let's discuss this in the light of day. Let's pour the floods onto the discussion. Let the floodlights alert everybody to the solutions, the concerns, the treatment of those issues. Let people understand it. And the public, when it's engaged, I'm convinced, will push fairness. And when the public gets behind the agenda, anything can happen. But we need to let the sunlight in on these discussions.
As always, Paul Tonko, I'm immensely grateful for your taking the time to come and talk to us and to face these questions.
Always an honor and always a pleasure.